morning. Today's scripture will be found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming."
No, we normally don't introduce our speakers, but it does give me a great honor to be able to introduce to you these three young ladies. As Lynette was talking about our TLTs, these are three of our TLTs. What is a TLT? It's a teen leadership training program. These three young ladies, you're going to really confuse me. Thank you. These three young ladies also participate in the, I guess you would call it the youth Bible study, that the youth wanted. I know Rod actually had it last night up at his house, and I've had the honor to be able to be a part of some of those. These are not little kids you're looking at here. These are three young ladies who are inspired and gifted and led by the Word of God. I am so proud of them, and I look forward to hearing God speak to you this morning. Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Sabbath day. Please speak through us. Please help us not to put our own meaning in what we think should be in your word, but to draw your truth out of it. Please help us to approach you and your word with humility and give us the wisdom, understanding in it that comes from your Spirit. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I would like to start us off this morning with a little imagination trip. I would like all of you guys to imagine this with me. You guys can close your eyes or whatever, but please imagine this with me. So one day, you're going to work or school if you're still in school, I guess, and you walk up to the front door and you see this man. Well, you recognize him, but he might be one of your coworkers or something. You don't really know him very well, but you see him by the door and he kind of looks depressed and sad and kind of like he needs cheering up. So you decide to give him a little wave and say, "Good morning, sir." And he waves back, and you go on with your day. And this continues for a little bit with this little greeting every morning, and you come to expect that he'll be there, and you'll kind of have this little greeting. And one day, you have an absolutely amazing worship. You read, like, the most amazing verse, and you're so hyped up, and you're so excited about Jesus, and you're just, "I want to share this with somebody." So you walk over, you're walking into work, and you see this man, and you're like, "Oh, well, why don't I tell him?" So you go over, and you start talking to him, and you say, "Well, how's your day going?" Like, kind of ask him what he does, what's his name, what's going on, and then you ask him, "What, are you a Christian?" And he goes, "Well, I've looked into religion, but it kind of seems stupid, and I don't really want to deal with that, and it's not really for me." So you're like, "Yes! I get to tell him about Jesus." So you're so excited, and you give this amazing lecture about how amazing Jesus is, and you're so excited, and you pray, and you ask for the Holy Spirit to fill your
your thoughts and to speak through you, and you're just so excited about this. And when you get done, you're like, so? And he goes, cool. And you're like, that's it? You're like, well, but okay. So you walk in, and that's kind of the end of it. And a few days later, you move somewhere else and don't really get to talk to him about it, and you kind of leave your job and you go somewhere else. Well, a few years, a few decades, we don't know when it's going to be. Jesus is going to come. And we're going to be in heaven, and after giving Jesus a hug, because, you know, that's obviously what you're going to first do. I mean, after giving Jesus a hug, and you've been there for a few days or a few years, you're just still exploring heaven, and you're just in complete awe of the golden streets and the pearls and the jewels, and you're just in such awe of this amazing place and that you're there. And all of a sudden, this man taps you on your shoulder, and you turn around, and you're like, hi. You recognize him, but you don't really know him very well. And he goes, you are the one who helped me get here. You planted the seed in my heart. Through Jesus, the Holy Spirit was in you and was able to plant the seed in my life. And because of you and because of Jesus, I went home that next day and I studied my Bible and I became baptized a few years later. And it is because of the seed you planted in my life that I am in heaven. How amazing would that be?
Amen. So we're going to read again Matthew chapter 25, the story of the 10 virgins. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man is coming. So, in Matthew chapter 24, the chapter before it, Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives, and his disciples come up to him privately and ask, when and what the signs of his coming at the end of the age will be. And he talks about what it will be like, you know, the wars and rumors of wars and, you know, just the things to look for. And then when he gets to chapter 25, and he tells about the parable of the 10 virgins. And in Christ's Object Lessons, Ellen White tells them, says that Jesus was, that while Jesus was speaking to them, they were actually watching that down below, there was actually a company awaiting for the appearance of the bridal party. So it kind of like went in with that.
Okay. So kind of along with that, a little bit of a background for the story. So during that culture at that time, the wedding feast was, of course, and you probably heard the story, there's a great wedding party. The groom would first prepare a place for the bride. Well, I got to prepare a place for you. Then the groom would go to the bride's house to get her, then would return to the father's house for the banquet, which usually lasted 7 days. So, beginning again in Matthew, I'm going to give back a few slides. So, verse 1 is, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. And that, I was trying to, we were kind of talking about this at first, trying to figure out how to go about this. And came upon the first part, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins. And I'm kind of confused by that, trying to figure out what exactly that meant. So, well, you know, the kingdom of heaven could just mean, well, heaven, God's kingdom. God's heavenly kingdom. So I did a little research, and the word used in this context, the Greek word, is basileia, which is from the word basileus, which means king. That's just essentially what it means. A kingdom, it's not just a land, it always has to have a king. And in this context, or at least when this word is used, basileia, it usually refers to the rule of Christ in the believer's hearts, which is a rule that one day will be universal on the physical earth in the millennium. So I concluded that the kingdom of heaven, where it's talking about here, is, well, like it says, the rule of Christ in the believer's hearts, and some may appear to have it, some will have it, some won't, some may, yeah, appear to have it. So, and then also, just looking at a little bit of biblical context, in the Old Testament, the lamps and oil are often used in the feast, in the tabernacle. In Exodus 27:20, the Israelites are instructed to bring olive for the to make the oil that would go in the lamp, and the lamp should be continually burning. So the main, and this we see in also in Zechariah 4, the oil represents the Spirit. Zechariah is given a vision and told to talk to Zerubbabel. He's given a vision about the lamps, and which concludes with that is not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit. And so the main characters in the story of the ten virgins are the ten virgins. So just comparing and contrasting a little bit, some of the similarities they had, they all had lamps, they all had oil. Some of them didn't have enough, but we'll get back to that. All appeared to have the intention of going to meet the bridegroom, and all rose and trimmed their lamps at midnight when there was a cry. When the wedding party was coming. So according to Ellen White, the ten virgins are watching in the evening of the earth's history. All claim to be Christians. All have a call, a name, a lamp, and all profess to be doing God's service. All apparently wait for Christ's appearing. But five are unready. Five will be found surprised, dismayed, outside the banquet hall. Let's look at some of the difference between the five wise and the five foolish. So some took flasks of oil with them. Obviously, these are the wise ones. Like we said, some were foolish, some were wise. Some had the oil, and the others asked for it. And upon receiving it, they went to buy it. Of course, this is too late. We'll get back to the wise and foolish virgins. But the last part, that was kind of interesting. And when I always used to hear the story, it always kind of, I don't know, I guess it sounded a little bit selfish. I mean, you'd think if they had the Spirit, they would have love and would therefore be generous, and that even if it was a cost to them, then they should give some of the oil to those who didn't have it. But just doing some research and reading different things, reading different parts of the Bible, this was actually a very wise response, in that the things of the Spirit cannot be transferred to another except for from the only source, which is the Spirit. Oil also cannot relight an unlit lamp, and a lamp with insufficient oil will not stay lit. So if the wise virgins had lost or had given up some of their oil, then neither of them would have it. There was no, the Spirit cannot be transferred from person to person, only from Spirit to person. And like I said, if the wise virgins were to let it go, then just neither of them would have it. So, and then also let's go back to a little bit, that one of the most obvious differences talks about some are foolish and some are wise. Wisdom is often seen throughout scriptures as a product and a fruit of the Spirit. In James, it talks about the definition of spiritual wisdom is, spiritual wisdom is first pure and peaceful, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And we are instructed in Ephesians not to live as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. In some translations, making the most of the time. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. This is a product of having the Spirit. It starts with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we see those who had the oil also consequently had wisdom. And then, I think, there you go.
Okay. So as Christina was talking about, oil was a very important part of the Old Testament and is a very important part of lighting lamps. It is the thing that keeps the lamp continuously burning. The story of the ten virgins also reminds me of two other stories in the Bible. The first one being Noah's Ark. In Noah's Ark, in the story of Noah, Jesus, or God, told him to build an ark. He told him that there would be a flood. And he told him, obviously, how to make the ark, but he didn't exactly tell him the time. And he kept preaching. He said, there's going to be a flood. He preached for a very long time to the people of his land, telling them, there is a flood coming. And they all laughed at him. They were waiting for some kind of a sign. They were waiting for rain or something. And once the rain came, they wanted to be in the ark, but by then it was too late. In this parable of the ten virgins, or in our lives, a lot of us are waiting for a sign. We're waiting for something like the Sunday law, something huge that's going to be like, oh, I know Jesus is coming soon at this point. They're waiting for the Sunday law, or we're waiting for some big earthquake to happen that makes California fall off the U.S., or something big. We're waiting for something big, and we can't do that because we don't know when probation is going to close for us. Probation may close when we die. I mean, it may close tomorrow because we might get into a car crash. We don't know when it's going to close. And for us, we can't be on the fence about this. Just like you can't be on the fence about getting on a plane. I mean, either you're on the plane and it leaves, or you're off the plane and you stay. I mean, there's no on the fence. Another parable that reminds me of this is the parable of the sower. In the parable of the sower, Jesus, or a Christian, is planting the seeds in the soil. There are four different types of soil that the seeds land in. The first one is on the path. The path is too hard and unable to allow for the seeds to sink in. So the seeds are unable to sink in, so the birds eat them off the path. The second one is the rocky soil. This one is where the person is super excited and it sprung up quickly, but because they didn't have roots, the seeds didn't have roots, the sun killed the plants and dried them up. The third one is the thorns. The thorny ground, it had nutrients, it obviously sustained life, but in the sense of the thorns. And the thorns took up all the nutrients the plants needed to live and sucked them dry, and the plants weren't able to grow. And the fourth one is the good soil. This is the one where they have roots, and it may not show up very quickly because the roots underneath the soil are forming. The roots are forming, and then a little plant pops out from the soil, and then it grows into the strongest plant because it has the roots first. Why is this stuff important? Why are these things important to us now? Well, first of all, in Matthew 24:24, if I can get that out, it says, "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." The Holy Spirit is the oil that keeps our flame going. If we have the flame continuously going, then we will always have light. But once our light goes out, once our flame goes out and we don't have the Holy Spirit anymore, we won't be able to see. And in the darkness, we won't be able to see the difference between the false prophets and Christ. This is a huge thing that is very important for us to understand, because if we do not have the Holy Spirit, we won't be able to tell the difference. And we may think that we're doing what's right, but we won't be able to know for sure. Another thing is that we hear a lot about the end of time. In Matthew 24:6-8, Jesus told his disciples, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled." Oh, I'm behind. "See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrow." Who here has heard about the crisis with Korea nuking Hawaii, that whole accident with it? That's a rumor of a war. Who here has heard people say, "Oh, there's going to be a World War III?
That's another rumor of war. How about the real wars that are going on? The wars with ISIS and between countries, cyber wars. And then it says, for nation shall rise against nation. Who has heard of China, Korea, or Russia in the news in the past week? Those are huge nations, and they're all at war in some way with the United States. And then there shall be famines and pestilences. Well, there's droughts in Oregon and California right now. I mean, who thinks Oregon is going to be in a drought? It's one of the rainiest places in the United States, for crying out loud. But we're in a drought. And the pestilences and the diseases in you've heard of Ebola and all these places. And then there's going to be earthquakes in diverse places. There have been so many recent earthquakes lately, especially along the Ring of Fire. And there have been a lot of, like, there's been tornado warnings in Oregon, I believe. I mean, places that normally don't have these things. It's in diverse places. So we may not have the Sunday law or something big to wake us up, but there are things that are going on right now. There is a shaking happening in the church right now. And Jesus is waking us up by showing us these signs and by shaking his church. And this is why this is important. But the biggest thing for me, why is this important? We're learning about the Holy Spirit and how important it is for us to accept Jesus Christ into our lives. We are God's children. He loves us more than anything. I know many of you out there are parents, and I know that every single one of you wants your kids to be with you in heaven. So why wouldn't God want us to be there? Why wouldn't we want to be there? There is no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears and crying. We will be reunited with those who have passed away. We will be living in a joyous paradise and have everlasting life. But most importantly, because we know that our loving Heavenly Father, the same God who died a horrible and painful death, separated from his Father and bearing the weight of the sins of every person who has and ever will live, that same God will be there with us. The God who created the universe loves you and me so much that he wants us to be there with him.
To conclude, when God offers us the Spirit, this is him saying, I have already given my life for you. Now, allow me to give it to you. This is what is called the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness, in Ephesians 4. He has called us to be perfect, as your Heavenly Father is perfect, which will not be accomplished until we physically go to be with him. As we are drawn to him, however, we will become more like him, who, of course, is perfect. This is not saying, be perfect, and then I will give you myself. This is, I'm drawing you to myself and making you more like me. You're not starting from a place where you are perfect or you have the fruits of the Spirit. If we invite him, he will not rest until you are perfect, until he can say, well done, and that he is well pleased with you. This is not an offer to change what we have. Rather, it is an offer to transform who we are. Changing would just imply taking our natural self and altering certain things, but we would remain the same people we are in an improved edition. This is a call for us to give up all of ourselves and let him replace it with his. This is the goal, to be a true Christian, a little Christ, because that's what it means, doing the will of God on earth, glorifying him. When something functions as it is meant to, it brings glory to its creator. Say if you created or built a house, if it stood and was strong, it did not fall down in last week's 2 inches of snow or in a rainstorm. If it stood as it was supposed to, it would bring glory to its creator. Creating, of course, in a loose sense, because we can't really create anything out of nothing. But however, if you built the house and the roof caved in after a week after it had been finished, your neighbors would probably laugh at you and tell you to go buy a book on house building, or several. His offer is to transform us from creation to sons, to give us the divine nature, to glorify him as someone who is increasingly closer to his likeness. So how do we know if we have the Spirit? In the parable of the 10 virgins, all of them seemed to think they were ready. The five foolish ones didn't realize until the end that they weren't prepared. They may have either thought the others were going overboard or didn't realize there was a difference, didn't think it was necessary. How we know? It's kind of a complicated question. I don't know. And it's one of the ways, or one of the main ways, how we can tell for ourselves is if you have the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit, you don't have the fruit to get the Spirit. The fruit is, well, the fruit of the Spirit, that's what comes from having the Spirit. And if you're changed, you can't really decide for other people. Well, you can't at all decide for other people or tell for other people whether they have it or not, because you don't know where they've come from, how they've been changed. Maybe they're drastically more like him than they used to be. You don't know. You can only judge for yourself if you're being changed, and sometimes it's even hard to know. But in Ephesians 5, it says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light of the world. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." So, to conclude from Christ's subject lessons, the religion of Christ means more than the forgiveness of sin. It means taking away our sins and filling the vacuum with the graces of the Holy Spirit. It means divine illumination, rejoicing in God. It means a heart emptied of self and blessed with the abiding presence of Christ. When Christ reigns in the soul, there is purity, freedom from sin. The glory, the fullness, the completeness of the gospel plan is fulfilled in the life. The acceptance of the Savior brings a glow of perfect peace, perfect love, perfect assurance. The beauty and fragrance of the character of Christ revealed in the life testifies that God has indeed sent his Son into the world to be his Savior. We ask only that we give up ourselves and ask for his self. Hand over the whole natural self, all the desires which you think are innocent, as well as the ones you think wicked, the whole outfit. I will give you a new self instead. In fact, I will give you myself. My own shall become yours. To reiterate, the beauty and fragrance of the character of Christ is revealed in the life that testified that God has indeed sent his Son into the world to be its Savior.
It's now time for the closing song.
I surrender all. There I am. 309. I surrender all.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Truly know that thou art mine.
to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender now. I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to his name. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee.
Jesus, thank you that it's your Sabbath and we get to spend time with you here. Please help everybody to kind of like wake up, as you said, and not wait for something big to happen for them to realize that you're coming soon. Please help us to all get a relationship with you right now and just grow closer to you. In your name we pray, amen.